Helen Reddy arrived in New York in 1966 with her three-year-old daughter, Tracy, and a couple of $100. She had won a singing competition back home in Australia, and she thought that she had a recording contract in America, but it didn't happen. Within 5 years, she was one of the most successful female recording artists of the time. Her song, I Am Woman, of course, became an anthem for the women's movement, and it is the title of a biopic in cinemas, possibly selectively this weekend, but certainly on general release from November the 5th. It's by Australian director Un Joo Moon, who found herself at the same table as Reddy at an award show in LA in 2003. Helen Reddy, of course, died in September. And Joo Moon is with us from LA. Hello.
Hi, Kim. I'm so thrilled to be with you and talking to New Zealand, the land of incredible women, including your Prime Minister.
Thank you, I think. Yes, the land of incredible women. That's a new title for us. Goes along with the land of the long white cloud, perhaps. Can you tell me, when you were sitting with Helen Reddy at that table in 2003, whether you were already thinking of making a movie?
When I first met Helen Reddy, I was at an award show and my husband was actually sitting next to her. And when I realized that this is the woman who wrote the lyrics for I Am Woman and who inspired a generation of women like my mother to be bolder and stronger, I really wanted to sit next to her and just really get to know something more about her. The more I heard her story that night, I realized that it would be an amazing story, but I was pretty sure that it probably had been made into a movie. I couldn't imagine that somebody who'd had such an extraordinary life, who had such depth and scope and breadth of career and had paved the way for so many women, had not already been honored with a movie. So when I went home that evening, I sort of started Googling her, looking her up, watching all those incredible YouTube videos, which a lot of people do after they watch the movie. And I was so shocked to find that nobody had made a film, not even a documentary on her. So
what did your mum say when you told her?
What
did your mum say when you told her you'd be sitting at that table?
Sadly, my mother has passed away. So it was even more poignant when I got to meet Helen, because I have very strong memories of being a young child growing up on the North Shore of Sydney, sitting in the back of my parents' yellow 1970s Volvo station wagon. And when Helen's music would come on, I would remember my mother and her friend sitting in the front seat and winding down the window and suddenly changing from being, you know, housewives and mothers to being these strong women with their fists up in the air. I think she would be very proud to know that I made a film about Helen.
The opening shot of the movie is interesting and subtle. Helen Reddy's arriving in New York with Tracy and she's walking past these ads, the classic ad for ketchup, with a picture of a woman saying, "Even I can open it."
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that those ads actually existed. And we actually looked through, when we were researching the kind of ads that were on billboards at that time, it's quite shocking to think that women could walk past these kind of ads every day and just accept it as part of their lives. So it was based in reality. I don't know if there's an actual ad that's like that. I think there's one that's a little similar.
Yeah,
but,
I'm pretty sure there
is. It was just a quick way to show the landscape of the environment that she was walking into. I think that things have changed a lot, but we all know that sometimes there's still ads as women that we look at them and shake our heads.
In the course of making the movie, did you become friends with Helen Reddy?
Yes, and I became friends with her even before we had decided to make the film. I spent about a year with her, really researching the story and really digging deep to be sure that there was enough of a story there to make it into a feature film. Originally, we had discussed doing it as a documentary, but when I started to realize just how much of a life that she'd lived and how it was not just the story of one woman, but in some ways it's the story of every woman. I just felt very passionately that it should be a film. And I think that we've now released it in several countries before we released it in New Zealand. And it's been wonderful to see how much the audience has embraced it and agreed with that.
And you also, I'm imagining, had to deal with Helen Reddy's ex-husband, Jeff Wald, who was also her manager, and is not depicted terribly well in the movie.
Yes, he was a manager and probably is notoriously known not just for the incredible work that he did in managing artists like Helen and Sylvester Stallone and like so many Earth, Wind and Fire, Deep Purple, Crosby, Stills and Nash. I mean, he has an incredible repertoire of clients that he had. But he's also quite well known for being probably one of Hollywood's biggest cocaine addicts, which I knew when I walked into the story. But when I got the call to meet him, we'd worked on the script for about a year, and we really had, I'd really sort of try to focus on making it Helen's story first and foremost. But I knew eventually I would have to meet Jeff. And when I did meet him, I went to lunch at 1 o'clock. In Malibu, I sat down and I did not leave that table until 7 o'clock in the evening. Jeff is really one of the most charismatic and engaging people that you can meet, but he's also one of the most difficult and blunt people that you can meet, if that's a good word to use. It's very interesting because when you make a film about a real life person, you're not only dealing with their life, but you're dealing with their legacy. And when you deal with legacy, it really means that you're dealing with their family as well. So Helen has her two children, Tracy and Jordan, who are in the movie, who we had to work closely with. And also I needed to know that Jeff would be on board this movie because if he wasn't, it's a much more difficult story to tell. And Jeff, to his credit, if you've seen the film, if you know anything about Jeff Wald, he does not it's it he's not painted as a saint, and he would own the fact that he was never a saint. That's the incredible thing about Jeff, is that he owns his mistakes. He knows what went wrong. He's 33 years sober now, and I think what's been amazing is that he's embraced this movie and supported it and helped promote it in the same way that he embraced Helen's song, I Am Woman, and supported it and promoted it.
Yes, it's interesting. I mean, the movie does give him credit for that, he said, look, put it, low down on the album. People will discover it, women will discover it, and indeed that's exactly the way it happened. How
And they had a
accurate do you
lot of
think?
marriage in those days because they sort of considered each other as equals, and that was not something that all men would embrace in those kind of partnerships.
No. How accurate was the response of the executives after they heard I Am Woman? They said, DJs will never touch it. It's man-hating. It sounds angry.
Oh, it was pretty accurate. And I think that Jeff even told me that they actually even went on to turn around and said to him, are you going to let her do this? Which I thought was pretty extraordinary. Helen wasn't going to take no for an answer, and Jeff certainly wasn't going to take no for an answer. But that scene, I think, represents not just the way she had to fight to get her song on the air, but the way she had to fight for her own career. And what's interesting is that when Rosemary Blythe, the producer, and I were making this film, and we wanted to tell this story, which is very clearly a story about a woman, and it's a story for all people, but also it's a story mostly for women, that we had the same kind of experience as filmmakers. We often sat at a table where we were the only women at the table, and people would, you know, look at Helen's story and say, well, who wants to, you know, who wants to know about that? So it was kind of interesting that all these years later, we were having a very similar experience.
It's a story about a woman with conflicts in her life. I mean, we've spoken about Jeff. He was terribly badly behaved at times. He could be violent. He was ruled by cocaine. He didn't deal with not being the biggest person in the room. And yet there she is singing, you know, I am woman, I am strong, I am invincible. Well, with Jeff, she often wasn't strong and she wasn't invincible. Does that, in your view, undermine her feminist credentials at all?
Not at all, because I think as women, we don't, there are so many facets to our lives and so many layers of the things that we deal with. And, you know, Helen was a single mother when she came to America, and she was a working mother. You know, she had her greatest hits. You know, I Am Woman hit number one when she'd just given birth, and her, you know, when her son Jordan was born, she was promoting I Am Woman the whole time while she was pregnant, which I think is really quite extraordinary, because you don't always see that in music. You see her in these really great outfits where she's literally wearing a smock, you know, to sort of accommodate her stomach. And I think that, you know, the fact that she had to deal with a lot in her life doesn't, or the fact that any woman has to deal with a lot in their lives, it doesn't undermine their feminism in any way. You know, it really, in some ways, makes them stronger. And, you know, Helen had to reach a point in her life where she had to choose what was right for her and choose to be strong and independent.
Did Jeff and Helen have very much to do with each other in the course of making the movie?
That's a really interesting question. When I first met Helen, she only ever referred to Jeff as number two, which is husband number two. And that's what she calls him in her biography. But it was really interesting because in the years leading up to the making of the movie, I really saw that they were able to find some peace in their lives. I was with Helen on her last show that she did, her last public show that she did at the Catalina Club. She had a little brief moment where she went out and did a little tour again. And she was in this jazz club. And on the very last night, she actually had Jeff back at one of her shows. And she was there with Jeff and her son, Jordan. And I think that was a very beautiful and powerful moment for them.
When would that have been?
And also when I, you know, when I actually screened the film to them, even though they watched the film at two separate screenings, they were actually at the cinema together.
When would that appearance have taken place at the Catalina Club?
Oh, goodness. Probably about two years before we made the film.
All right. Yes. Because she was diagnosed with dementia in 2015, I think, was she not?
I don't know the exact date, but I do know that Helen, we all know that Helen has been struggling and dealing with health issues.
And she had Addison's disease as well, I think, so.
Yes, and that's something that Helen talked about very openly, and she was very, you know, she was really an advocate for Addison's disease. You know, Helen and I spoke about whether that should be in the movie, and that almost felt like another subject in itself. And also the events surrounding what we deal with in the film didn't necessarily deal with her Addison's. Although having that disease does, I want to say that it impermeates and impacts every aspect of your life.
Yeah, it's an adrenal gland disorder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you have to consult with her children, Tracy and Jordan, very much also? Because Tracy is in it quite a lot, and Jordan to a much lesser degree, but nevertheless both are invested.
When Helen and I decided we were going to make this film, I said to Helen, you know, Helen, this is not going to be a documentary. I'm not going to get every fact right. I'm not going to get every person in your life right. I'm not, sometimes may have to, you know, change around sequences of events and, you know, meld things together. But I promise you that the one thing I will do is I will absolutely honor the spirit of who you are, what your life has been, and the impact that you and your music has had on people. And I think that Helen was really happy with that. And I think her family were as well. So it wasn't necessarily always about getting every detail right. It was really about capturing the spirit of Helen and her life and her music. And I think that the whole family really entrusted me with that and really embraced that notion. And of course, along the way, we did a lot of research with Helen, with her family. I went and spoke to a lot of people who were in Helen's lives, in all their lives, I should say. So they knew that we were very, very well researched. So that by the time they read the script, I think they felt very comfortable with everything. And certainly by the time they saw the movie, everybody was very moved and touched and really supported the film that was coming out.
Helen's granddaughter Lily gets a cameo part, but it's a bit more than that. She's on stage, she's singing a song called Revolution, and she's fantastic.
Oh, she's so brilliant, and it's one of my favourite moments of the film, and the fact that we could actually include Helen's granddaughter. So much about the movie is about mothers and daughters and generations of women, and how more perfect is it that we got to put Helen's granddaughter, who is just starting off in her singing career, into the film as well. And the song Revolution is our original song in the movie. It was written by an amazing Australian producer-writer called Alex Hope, who's now living in Hollywood. And Alex has worked with a lot of incredibly big stars, but we found Alex through her mother, which I think is another kind of wonderful thing about generations in this film. And when we were looking for an original song, we were really looking for a song that would take the next step beyond I Am Woman. And I think if you listen to the words of Revolution, you know, here comes the revolution. It really takes that next step from I Am Woman. And I think Lily did a beautiful job in it. Helen was incredibly, incredibly proud that Lily was in the film.
Tell me this then. Was Helen Reddy as essentially saintly and clean living as depicted? No alcohol, no drugs, no extramarital affairs?
To me, she doesn't seem that saintly in the film, but
she's very saintly.
Yeah, well, she's always had a big issue with alcohol because her parents were, she grew up with a father who drank, and it really affected her enormously. And so she never drank. And I sort of, maybe part of the irony is that, you know, she liked Jeff originally, she told me, because Jeff didn't drink. But of course, Jeff was doing all manner of other things, or went on to do all manner of other things. But I do know that drinking was a big issue for Helen. It was something that that she never embraced in her life. And certainly any of us who knew Helen, we never drank in front of Helen.
Really? That's interesting, isn't it? So the shoot was very tight, as you've described. You shot for a month in Sydney and 2.5 days just in LA.
Well, we actually shot about 6 weeks in Sydney, which is still a very tight shoot for a big film like this. And we only shot 2.5 days in Los Angeles. Part of the reason we shot it in Australia is because I felt very strongly when we were making this film that we wanted to make it an Australian film. It's a story. It's a quintessentially Australian story. It's a story of an Australian girl who has dreams and heads out to the big world and makes it and learns about herself in the process. So in making it an Australian film, we were mostly financed out of Australia, which, you know, as Australian filmmakers, we're so incredibly lucky to have that support. But it also meant that we had to shoot it in Australia. So even though the film is not set in Australia at all, it is actually, we recreate Los Angeles, Washington, New York in the 60s, 70s and 80s, all in the streets and suburbs of and homes of Sydney, which I think worked really well. I think the only 2.5 days that we shot in LA were things that we simply could not recreate, like the original Capitol Records building. We just felt that we could not recreate that. We shot some exterior scenes here where we needed specific things.
Am I right in thinking, in the spirit of the movie, that most of your investors, your agent, the crew, mainly women?
We had a lot of women on the crew. We had a lot of feminist men on the crew as well. But we did have our core team, which I think you really feel in a movie like this, our writer, Emma Jensen, Rosemary Blight, the producer, myself. You know, we all started off together on the journey of telling Helen's story. And then even at the back end with our editor, Danny Cooper, you know, I think that we all naturally gravitated towards this story because it spoke to us. It was the kind of story that we all wanted to tell and the kind of movie that we want to see as women.
The timing has been pretty good, although I guess you couldn't have anticipated that. A new wave of feminism, the Me Too movement, makes the movie quite poignant, really. It's like a reminder.
Yes, and we actually started the film even before those things had really started to come into play in a big way. But I think that for me, as a woman, they were still there in my life. So I met Helen, and when we first started the screenplay, I used to say to Rose, isn't it incredible? We're probably going to release this film when America will have its first female president. But by the time we got to making the film, that's not what happened in the world. The world had changed, and suddenly there was this enormous worldwide women's march. And in fact, I went to Washington, not only because I support the cause, but in 2017, I wanted to stand on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial where Helen stands at the end of our film, where she sings at the 1989 Women's March. And here I was in 2017, looking out across a sea of pink hats, imagining what Helen would have experienced in that moment. And all of a sudden, somebody walked past with a sign saying, "Hear me roar," which is, I took a photo of it. It's actually the end card in the film when it talks about the Equal Rights Amendment.
Nice. One ought to mention the actor that plays Helen Reddy, Tilda Cobbin Hervey, who's fantastic. Does she do the real singing in there?
Well, how can we not mention Tilda? Because Tilda even had the real Jeff Wald, after the screening, blink at me and basically say, "My God, sometimes I thought I was watching Helen." So she did such a beautiful job of embracing the character. And of course, you know, the incredible team around her, you know, who did hair, makeup, costume, the cinematographer, Dion Beebe, you know, the team that sort of really helped her get to that point of creating that character were extraordinary as well. And Tilda had to sing on the day. In order to believe that she was singing, she had to learn every song, and she went through a 6-week rehearsal process where she literally was doing breathing lessons, movement classes to learn how to stand like Helen, choreography, you know, voice lessons to talk like Helen. And what really came out of that was that she definitely would sing on the day, but that we would really need a voice that really could sound like Helen. Some people ask me, why didn't you use Helen Reddy's real voice? And some people get very upset because they're very tied to Helen's voice. But if you look at the songs in the movie, they're placed in a way that they're kind of like a musical. So we've actually had to change some of Helen's songs from being a pure recorded song to being a live performance and a song in which you could feel the emotion. So we've changed up the beats of some of the songs, some of the tempos. So we really did need to re-record them to make them work. And I took a leaf out of sort of the way they used to do things in Hollywood where, you know, in The King and I or West Side Story, actually the same woman actually voiced both Natalie Wood and Deborah Kerr. And we sort of took a very similar approach where, you know, we really worked off Tilda's performances and crafted around her performances to get the voice right. And the voice was we were very lucky. We found somebody in Australia because we had searched all around the world, like we did for Tilda. We searched all around the world and we ended up finding this brilliant young girl, Chelsea Cullen, who's just been nominated for an ARIA for our soundtrack in Perth.
Good. Congratulations for that. I need to ask you before we go, how's LA? Are you locked down? What is the situation for you?
You know, I'm looking out my window and it is an incredibly gloriously sunny day. You would not even imagine that we're walking into these winter months here. But, you know, the streets of LA are very different. Things are a lot quieter and things are, you know, certainly we are not in indoor restaurants. My son has not been at school since March, but people are taking things very, very seriously here. And, you know, everybody's wearing masks outdoors. But, you know, everybody feels the impact of this pandemic, but also added to that, everyone is feeling the impact of this election that's coming up and the sort of the fork in the road this country is in. So it is really a very, very interesting time to be here right now.
You'll be voting for Mr. Trump, though, won't you?
I actually can't vote. I'm not an American citizen. but I really hope that part of the reason we wanted to get our film out, you know, a lot of films have delayed until next year in order to be able to reach audiences in cinemas throughout the rest of the world, except for New Zealand and Taiwan too, by the way. But part of the reason we wanted to get our film out before the election is that I really think a film like this, you know, has proved to be very inspiring and empowering for women. And I hope that people will watch it, and especially women here in America, and it will help them make really good choices for all our futures.
I don't know what you can possibly mean by that, but it's very nice to talk to you, Anju Moon, who is the director of the biopic of Helen Reddy called I Am Women.